You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Richard Justice and Allison Footer.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I am Allison Footer from MLB.com, here with my BFF, Richard Justice, and soon we will be joined by Steve Gilbert. Richard, there's a little bit of news that the D-backs are planning to keep Kirk Gibson for 2015, so I guess it's the last year of his contract. It's not anything that they're planning on really making a formal announcement. It's just he's under contract, so in their eyes, I guess it's just he's going to keep managing. But I think from the outside, we're all sort of wondering, if there's going to be any kind of shakeup, starting with the manager's office, and it seems like that's going to be intact, at least for another season.
Yeah, I think that Tony La Russa is a guy that knows that managing's hard. And I think on a lot of levels, he has respect for Kirk Gibson, competed against him, manager to player. And I think he's going to do what good management people do. He's going to keep watching his guys and evaluating and giving them every chance to succeed or fail. Let's bring in Steve Gilbert, who covers the Diamondbacks for MLB.com. Steve, first of all, are you clear now about what Tony La Russa's role in the Diamondbacks going forward will be?
Richard, I think there's still some question there. I know the report said the Diamondbacks were leaning towards bringing him back next year. I spoke with Tony last night about that issue, amongst several issues, and his comment said that there would be a time and a place for that, and that right now he was, still in his evaluation process, but that he would have something closer towards the end of the season. I think you made a good point that he has a lot of sympathy is not the right word, but understanding of what a manager goes through. I think he has been impressed with the way the team has continued to play hard, despite this being a lost season, a real disappointing year on the field, a terrible record. They've continued to play hard in games, and I think that speaks to something in Tony. Now, whether or not that ends up being enough for him to officially decide to keep Gibby for another year still remains to be seen, but certainly I think he has a soft spot in his heart for managers and what they go through and the challenges there.
So I like this little nugget you had about the show and go. I wish that we could do that at MLB.com, just show and go. So basically what it is just you report to the ballpark a little later than usual. You don't take BP. You don't have infield drills. You just kind of show up and play. And, it's funny because you get into a routine and it starts with spring training and it's a grind and it's every day. And there's not a whole lot of, breaks in the action. So something like this, even though it's something small and we're all adults, but we're sort of like children when it comes to just that one little gift that you're given that can maybe, clear your head a little bit. So tell us about show and go and how did that work after? Did they start winning?
Well, I think it's interesting in that I'm not sure fans fully understand exactly how many hours guys typically spend at the ballpark when they're, getting to the ballpark at 12:30, 1 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game. Sometimes it seems a bit much, and there's so many extra ground balls being taken and so many extra swings, not just batting practice, but they go through taking flips in the cage, taking extra batting practice in the cage. I mean, the amount of repetition and work that goes in sometimes, and some people really feel that it gets overdone. And so the Diamondbacks back, this kind of started in 2011 for them. Actually, in Washington, D.C., there was an earthquake, and the team was late getting to the ballpark. And in the midst of a bad losing streak, Kirk Gibson, they went out and won that night. And so Kirk Gibson said, all right, show and go the next night. Nobody be here. We're going to lock the clubhouse. Nobody be here before it was 3:30. 4 o'clock, something like that. And they went on this winning streak. They ended up winning, I believe it was 8 games in a row. And finally, after 5 days, they stopped the show and go, and they had guys coming in for batting practice. It felt like going 5 or 6 days without taking extra stuff was probably too much. But they tried that in Miami. It worked for a night, and they announced Roger Riley, the traveling secretary, walked in after that game and said, okay, show and go tomorrow. And they were just hooping and hollering, like you said, just like little kids getting an extra day off of school. So then they lost, and so show and go kind of disappeared. And But it was a fun little break for them in what otherwise has been a long season.
Steve, as you've looked at these young guys that have come up, and I know Jake Lamb only just got there, but he only just got to AAA too. But have you seen Lamb and NCRT and Chase Anderson? Do you see a nucleus that you can be optimistic about going forward?
I think what they're trying to do these last couple months is, Mike Harkey was the one that said that they're just trying to find they're sifting through everything to try to find some gems for next season. And you probably hit on a couple guys that they're counting on, a guy like Jake Lamb to come up and get a couple of months experience and see what it's like at the big league level. David Peralta is an outfielder that kind of has a cool story. He was a pitcher and then out of baseball 2 years ago after an arm injury and bounced around independent leagues and was signed by the Diamondbacks, and now he's in the big leagues and, you know, had great success his first two and a half months in the big leagues, and then started to see that major league pitchers quickly make adjustments, and now he's learning how to make adjustments to their adjustments, and they hope that those guys getting that kind of experience can really help them next year. So a guy like Jake Lamb, possibly Didi Gregorius at short, some of the other guys that they have called up, Inciarte is a guy that they're trying to get a read on. Is he a fourth outfielder? Is he a guy that could start? Same thing with Peralta, Chase Anderson on the pitching staff, Matt Stites in the bullpen. These are guys that they have some high hopes for that they want to really get a good look at these next couple months to try to make some decisions on.
It's interesting because with that, when you have a young player, you talked about David Peralta and how he's had a hot start and then he slumped a little bit. But that back and forth game, it never really ends. And veteran players talk about it. I think it's so interesting just to hear them talk about how you're just trying to outsmart each other. And that cat and mouse game doesn't end. So how does a young player, I mean, just like covering these guys and sort of observing baseball for as long as you have, to the people that don't really, you know a lot about that, I mean, how do guys have to approach that? And, you know, what do they do to work before games? And do they have to study, you know, what goes on with that, with their hitting coaches and players?
You know, it's interesting. They look at a lot of video, and they start to put together tendencies and show that, see, guys now are starting to work you know, maybe down and away a little more than they were before. Or maybe they're working you down and in a little bit more than before because they've discovered that's a hole. So maybe you need to back off the plate a little bit or get closer to the plate a little bit or adjust yourself in what pitchers you're looking for in certain counts. All of those things are different adjustments that can be made. And the key is, can you make the adjustment, but how quickly can you make the adjustment? And I think that's one of the things that they discovered about Paul Goldschmidt early on, is that it wasn't so much that Paul could make the adjustments that made him, you know, such a good player. It was that he could make them quickly, and he could kind of see and understand quickly what pitchers were doing to him differently from game to game or week to week, however you want to look at it.
Steve, we appreciate it. You've been, you know, we talk to a lot of beat writers on these things, but when we're done, we always say, you know, if they could all be like Gilbert, it'd be like not working.
That's because he shows and knows.
I thought you were going to say if they're all like Gilbert, they don't do any work, but that's, I appreciate that, Richard. Thank you.
All right, have a good week. We'll talk to you soon.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.